Listening to WPVM LP in Asheville, North Carolina, 103.7 on the dial and globally at WPVMFN.org.
Here's your Radio Asheville weather report. Expect a warm, humid, and very unsettled weather pattern over the next several days. High temperatures will generally reach the lower to middle 80s, with overnight lows in the middle 60s. Showers and thunderstorms will be likely on most days, especially during the afternoon and evening hours, although some rain may occur at other times as well. I'm Rebecca Lawson on Radio Asheville, 103.7.
When systems fail, where do you turn for truth and resilience? Welcome to the Resilience Realm with host Dawn Westmoreland, a syndicated radio talk show host, retired Air Force veteran, author, and resilience advocate. Each week, Dawn brings powerful voices, attorneys, mental health experts, veterans, and leaders sharing courage, boundaries, and real-world resilience strategies. Dawn broadcasts on the Pacifica Network and WPVM-FM LP 103.7 Radio Asheville. This isn't just a show. It's a movement for courage, ethics, and justice. Tune in Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. If it's your first time, so glad to have you. Today, this is exciting because so many times I interview people that are outside the Asheville, North Carolina area. But today, I actually have a fellow Ashevillian, Sophia Costanzo. Am I saying that right?
Costanzo, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. And she's from Asheville, North Carolina. I learned about her recently because she had to deal with Hurricane Helene that came in the end of September, almost 2 years ago, coming up. And she decided to do something positive. And so she is an actress, a playwright, and a director. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how the arts can heal. So welcome, Sophia. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
Let the audience know just a little bit about you. You know, who are you? How did you get into the arts?
Yeah. So I, like you said, I'm from Asheville, North Carolina, and I grew up in Asheville, and from a pretty young age, I was 3 when I realized like theater is what I want to do. Acting is what I want to do. And so I go to school now in New York at NYU, and I'm going into my final year there. And there I've been studying a lot of experimental theater. I spent the last 4 months in Berlin studying physical acting there. And when I go back in the fall, I'll be studying at Playwrights Horizons Theater and studying more directing, writing, that sort of thing. And in the physical acting, that kind of realm. And I also have done a month of Gestalt therapy training at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, California. So that kind of weaves its way into my theater work as well in a lot of ways.
Very impressive. So how does the healing arts, I'm going to call it the healing arts, well, how does acting, playwright, you know, directing, how does that tie into what I'd like to call the healing arts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there, one of my biggest realizations when I did this month-long Gestalt training was, because I was doing this training and we were doing all these exercises that were all about therapy. And I was like, oh my God, like I've been doing these exercises just in acting school like, for a character. And I was like, oh my God. So yeah, I mean, it's becoming another person. But it's not only that, it's becoming, it's seeing the world from a different point of view. And I think that whenever your world view is shifted in any way, whether that's in a therapy session or on stage, when you're seeing a performance, when you're acting in a performance, when you're reading something, it can heal you in whatever way. It can just open your world's experience and your personal experience, your understanding of other people.
Yeah, pretty well done. Now, what are you doing at this time? Have you created a new play or... you know, what are you up to these days?
Yeah, so I right now am in the rehearsal process for my new show. It's called Raining on Sunny Street. And this is the show that's about Hurricane Helene. And I've been working on this for a year and a half now after the hurricane. I was actually in New York when the hurricane happened. And because I was at school and I called my parents and then, you know, the phone went out and I couldn't get in contact with them for days. And I was just, you know, seeing everything from the outside and seeing the destruction, seeing things were down and it was flooding. And I was like, what? This doesn't like happen in Asheville. This is not what happens. And also I have no idea if my family's okay or what happened on our property. So finally they got in contact with me 2 days after the hurricane and they were like, we're okay. We're safe. You know, we drove to the Verizon store or whatever to get some Wi-Fi to call you. And in the weeks following, I was really like, I just felt stuck in New York wanting to help and wanting to do something for my community. But I was like, there's nothing I can do because I can't come back here and like volunteer on the ground because A, I have school and B, y'all didn't literally have the resources to like hold and feed more people. So I was talking with my mom one day that maybe 2 weeks after the hurricane. And I was like telling this to her and she was like, well, why don't you just do like what you do? You make art, right? Like, so just do that. Just make some art, just do something. And I was like, yeah, okay, you're right. So I started by writing a song and I posted that. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is what I need to do. And so when I went back for winter break that January, I started interviewing people formally and informally. I ended up formally interviewing maybe about 15 people and informally so many more. And then compiling hours of recorded interviews and their stories and trying to wrap my head around how do I tell this story. And then a year and a half later, here I am having written the show. I've done 2 staged readings of it so far, one in Asheville, one in New York. And now I'm fully producing it in Asheville.
Very nice. Yeah. Is it hard to come up with ideas when you're writing a play?
I think that yes and no. It's for this project, it really, and I think when it's really flowing, it feels more like less I'm having to come up with ideas and more like it's just kind of coming through me when I'm like really in the zone. It feels like it's already there. I'm just like finding it, especially with this, because so much of this is based off of true experience and people that I've met, people I've talked to, their stories. Like I have heard just countless number of stories. Anytime you start talking to somebody about the hurricane, you start hearing their story. And I love that. I love hearing people's stories. And every time I talk to somebody about it, it adds just another little layer, another little tiny detail that I've added into this show. So there's so many things now that like I didn't even come up with that instead, like people, it was a story. It was something that I heard, a little, even if it was just like a little tidbit of something that somehow made it into this show.
Okay. Do you ever have any problems or issues with becoming creative and inspirational when you're doing this kind of work?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, yes. I think I definitely come up against, I think for me with this project specifically, what I've been coming up a lot against is that sometimes I feel like I'm telling this story that I was not there for, that I didn't live through. And I think to me, that is the hardest thing about writing. It's telling a story that may not be your own. And that is our job as artists is to like take in the world. And I see artists as sort of like funnels for that. And so I think that with this story, what's been extremely important to me, like I said, is like really seeing myself as almost a conduit for other people's stories and using what I've had the privilege to learn and like the technicalities of like how to write a play and how to put on a play and those sort of things. And using my knowledge in that to tell people stories that don't have that knowledge to write it into a play.
Yeah. Sophia, you said you've heard a lot of stories and it's part of your play. Can you share a story that's going to be in your play?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I think the The overarching story is a neighborhood in Asheville that, you know, all these neighbors, they don't really know each other, or they have point of views on each other. One person, you know, has different political beliefs than another person, or moral beliefs than another person, or religious beliefs than the other people. And at the bottom of the hill, the flood comes and washes away some of the houses. And so everybody at the top of the hill has to congregate all together in the one house, and the tensions start to rise just like the storm starts to rise. So it's kind of like holding both of those things. One of the biggest tensions that came from a real story that I heard is one of the characters, his name is Rob. He comes to the door and he knocks on the door, and the granddaughter of the girl living there opens the door and she's like, "Hi." And he's like, "Hi, can I come in?" And then she's like, "I don't know. Is that a shotgun?" And he has a shotgun in his hand. And he's like, "Yeah, but it's just for protection." And she's like, no, you can't come in. You can't come in." And so then Grandma said, "Well, you can come in, but you've got to leave the shotgun at the door." And as you can imagine, that is a big point of tension in this story. But
I can see that.
One of the many little like funny things that actually happened, that somebody told me, "Yep, this guy came to my door with a shotgun." And I said, "Leave it on the porch. You can put it in the umbrella stand."
So what happened? Did he leave it in the umbrella stand?
Yes, he did. He did. And it was funny too, that interview, that I was interviewing these people and they were all together too. And then I got his point of view and he was like, "Yeah, and she made me leave my gun on the porch."
So his norm is definitely different than the people he was visiting's norm.
Okay. And I think that's really like what Asheville is to me. Like it's just such a, you know, I mean, it's this little tiny blue bubble and a lot of red, and it's, you know, North Carolina, and it's in the South, and it's also this like hippie fun, like funky town. And now it's like growing because all the tourism, and it's just like, it's just got so much going on and so many different kinds of people. And what I just kept hearing again and again from people was that, like, I didn't know my neighbors. I didn't want to know my neighbors. And then I had to. And the neighbors that I thought were crazy, or I thought, you know, whatever I had my opinions on, saved my life. And we had to do it together. And we might not even talk anymore. Like, some people were like, "Yeah, like we lived together for weeks. And now I like wave at them when I walk by and we don't say anything." But I think that's what's was really beautiful about the hurricane, and is what I try and convey in this show, is that we might all be different and we are all kind of living our own lives. But like when something happens, like at the end of the day, your community, these people who are, you can see and you can touch and are living right next door to you, are the people that you can lean on.
You know, I know the hurricane was horrible. I remember the 30 something plus days that I dealt with muddy water, and I'm in Woodfin, North Asheville. And, you know, I even remember when Hurricane Helene hit. Well, it was tropical, but it felt like hurricane by the time it got up here and did all the damage. You know, I was in North Florida dealing with another hurricane without power and lights for about 5 days. And former husband's like, "Stay there. You don't want to come back." But I did want to come back. And, you know, one thing that I remember is that, like you're talking about, Sophia, is people coming together that might be extremely different. I mean, I had people who followed me on Facebook for years and they're like, "Do you have water?" They're typing, you know, Facebook message, "Do you have water?" And I'm like, "Actually, I do, but it's not drinking water. Can I come over and use your shower?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm not there. I'm actually dealing with a hurricane, you know, and no power for 5 days in North Florida." But it's interesting how, you know, people had to be brave. They had to be resilient. And people came together.
Yeah. And that's really what I realized from talking to people was, like, yes, there was all this devastation, but that's not what people really wanted to talk about. When I really sat down and asked people the questions, the thing that just kept coming back up was like, yes, we went through this thing, but look at all this that came out of it. And that was, I think the most beautiful thing about the hurricane was exactly what you're talking about. People talked to people they hadn't talked to in their entire lives, or like in years and years, and because they had to.
Mm-hmm. I know we had some extreme weather earlier this year, and people started to panic. As I said, they were feeling like PTSD, like, oh my gosh, we've been through a bad storm. You might remember that we had some really extreme weather. Do you think that, you know, just your opinion, do you think that there's still people, and I'm going to say the greater Asheville, because we know that Helene, Hurricane Helene, touched people in South Carolina. It touched people in Tennessee. We know that. But it seems like Asheville gets more attention because it's Asheville, right? But do you think, Sophia, are there people out there that you feel like still need healing from the experience that's almost been 2 years ago?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think that this is one of those things that people will be healing from for a long time. I mean, it was a huge community event that, like you said, like affected such a big area, not just Asheville, all the neighboring small cities. And mm-hmm. I that is what I hope to bring a little bit of with this show as well. I think that at this point, it's been 2 years. And so people have kind of gotten back into their regular sort of rhythm with things. But I mean, mm-hmm. just last week, there was this tornado warning that happened. And then before that, there was like these like really intense rains and floods. And I had to cancel rehearsal for the floods. And then the tornado warning happened during one of my rehearsals. And I was just thinking like, wow. And first of all, it's a little ironic that I'm like rehearsing for the show and this is happening. But
yeah,
also it was bringing up a lot of feelings for people because they were like, oh my God, is it going to happen again? You know, like PTSD. And like, that's a real, real thing, a scary thing. But I think that it's important to remember like what happened, to continue to feel those feelings. And then on that, remember the community that was created out of that. And like, I think that that's where the healing comes from.
And it leads me to ask you, what kind of community do you think we have right now in the greater Asheville area after Hurricane Helene?
I think since Hurricane Helene, well, first of all, I think the community in general, this like word community has been sort of like a, I don't know if hot topic is the right word, but like in this kind of age we're living in terms of social media, in terms of like all of these screens that we're sitting in front of, I think that community has turned into something that is not only a physical thing and is translated through like an online space. And I think for some people that is really, can be really helpful and really great. I mean, I'm 21, I'm a Gen Zer, so I've grown up in that world. But I think that also what the hurricane brought to Asheville and to the surrounding communities is like a break from that and a break from this like online world, because, well, there literally was no service. Like, people had to get real and get physical and be in physical community with each other. And I think that there's still remnants of that. And I think that, that's still like in the underbelly of what's going on in our community right now. And I hope to keep reminding people of that. I hope that it doesn't drift away back into the virtual world that the rest of the world seems to live in. That mm-hmm. makes sense.
Now, have you got your play together? Have you already, is it already been started? You know, are you already orchestrating this play?
Yeah, so I am working with NYU. I've got a grant from them, a community-based theater grant. So I'm working kind of like in tandem with them. Asheville High School, they've given an in-kind donation. So I'm using their theater space and working with Lori Hilliard, who's the theater teacher there, with them a little bit. I'm also working with Stillpoint Wellness, which is a local spa and healing center, to run rehearsals there. They've donated their space. So it's really been like a wonderful, a lot of communities coming together to support this project, which I'm really grateful about. But right now in the process, we're 2 weeks into rehearsals. So the script was edited and finally finished a week ago.
Congratulations.
Which, you know,
very big deal.
Yes. And it was such a breath out, because it always seems to be like that with new work. It's constantly that fine tuning and editing, and how can I make these stakes go up and these things, because it's funny. And this has been actually to your question earlier about struggles with this piece, writing a piece of art in a play, which is a play and has dramatic structure and mm-hmm. has to have characters and all these play things, but also is a real experience based off of what people have gone through and real people. And that that shift in finding the balance between those two things, I think has actually been quite difficult for me. And I hope that I finally have found a good balance between those two things. But it's hard, you know, trying to not play on something for a play sort of shock, dramatic value, but then also not wanting to do justice to people and to their stories. And yeah.
So how many people do you have employed in this play?
So there's six actors, actually seven, because two of them are sort of musicians that kind of are okay. narrators nice. That sort of tell the story along. And then I have a few other creative team people, stage manager, assistant director, supporting the process sort of in the background.
Are you in this play?
I'm not. I said,
You're creating. Infrastructure.
Yeah. I writing, directing, and acting in your own work, I've done it before, and it is a whole different kind of difficult beast. Yeah.
I was wondering why you weren't in your play. Why was it different? Was it a whole different beast?
Well, I think that it's hard to direct yourself to do something.
Gotcha.
Also, I like to use this analogy when I'm talking about creative work and collaboration, where I was in this class last year and it was called Love Actually, and it was all about the psychology of love. It was a really wonderful class. But anyway, we learned about these fish, and just bear with me here for a second. We learned about these fish that clone themselves for reproduction. And their species are incredibly susceptible to any sort of disease or bacteria, anything like that. They die out so quickly because all of them are have the same DNA, because they've just cloned. Mm-hmm. And I like to think of that in terms of art. And I see a play or any sort of theater piece as you have the writer, you have the, and that's one lens, then you have the director and that goes through another lens, and you have the actors and that goes through another lens, and then you've got the audience. And mm-hmm. if the writer, director, actor is the same fish that keeps getting cloned gotcha. Again and again and again, I think it's possible and it can be something really wonderful, but also it takes away those chances for new DNA to get into that piece. And so that's why I decided to not act in it. And also why I decided to bring in so many collaborators, and especially in terms of the music, and to bring in collaborators in terms of assistant directing and editing through the process and the acting. And I think it just, the more perspectives and collaborators and the research process too, of course.
Yeah.
Interviews, the more I get in there, the more DNA, the more diverse it will become.
So we know you're an actress, and you're not an actress in this play, and you explained why, and it makes good sense. What kind of roles have you performed in as an actress?
Well, in high school, one of my favorite roles was Chicago. I was in Chicago, and I was Velma Kelly in Chicago. And that was fun, musical theater-y. But more recently, I was in a production of Hedda Gabler by Henrik Ibsen, where I played Taya Elvsted. And that's that was at the experimental theater wing at NYU. And that's where I think I really got to explore how to apply a lot of the like physical acting kind of things, this like somatic work that I had been learning in the experimental theater world and like putting it on stage. And then I've done some other student projects more recently that kind of have been in the same vein of like, more recently, I'm going into this like experimental theater, physical acting kind of world.
Impressive. You know, there's probably somebody out there, and it could be a younger person, it could be an older person who wants a second career. I mean, how do you know that you would make a good actor or actress, Sophia?
I mean, like I said, I think have known since I was like 3 years old and standing on the kitchen counter and dancing and singing my heart out. or like my, I think the specific moment, if I were had to pinpoint a moment for myself, it would be my fourth birthday party. I had never taken any sort of dance, acting, anything in my life. And I asked my parents for tap shoes and ballet slippers for my birthday. And they got them for me. And I had my birthday party at the Hop Ice Cream, which you might know, on Merriman. And
I know it very well.
Yes. This is back when it was part of it. They also did like birthday parties and events. And I did a full like hour long impromptu tap ballet dance, singing, acting performance for everyone there. I was 4 years old. And I think like that was the moment, like seeing, like just being there, like on my little stage in quotation marks. And like seeing everybody there just like captivated and like being able to like be dancing and doing the thing. Like I was like, yes, I need to do this forever. This is it. This is the feeling.
So, yeah. So I'm curious myself. I have friends that are actors and actresses. Do you have to have a certain personality type? Like, do you have to be extroverted to be an actress?
No, I mean, I'm a very extroverted person. But I have a lot of friends who are not, and I don't think that that's true. I think that actually what you need to be an actor or an actress is, interest and ambition. I think that that's what it is. I had this teacher who said talent is interest, and he would just say that over and over again, because you can be talented. Sure. And like natural talent. And yeah, that's a thing. And you can have that. But it doesn't really get you anywhere if you're not interested in what you're doing. And I think it's that. I think it's like the passion. And you can have that passion and be an introverted person. You don't have to be like extroverted about that passion. But I think what's so beautiful about acting and theater is, like I said before, getting to step into people, bodies, characters who are so different from yourself, and getting to experience life in like through this new lens. And that's why I think a lot of actors are quite like extroverted or seem extroverted, or like, can kind of like meld between different people, because that's like what we do. We like stretch that muscle of like being able to meld with people and like be people and become different parts, heighten up different parts of ourselves.
Very, very good. So tell me about the play. We're done the last couple minutes. How can people watch the play? Will it ever be online recorded, or will it only be, you know, in residence that you have to see it?
Yeah. In terms of the online recorded, that is to be determined. Okay. I'm not sure about that one yet. There might be an online recording. There will definitely be a few clips, but you can follow us on Raining on Sunny Street on Instagram. And if you want to come see the show, it's on August 21st and 22nd at Asheville High School's Theater Arts Theater. And you can go get tickets if you look up online, Raining on Sunny Street, Asheville. There's an Eventbrite and you can get tickets. Oh, also there's a preview performance we just added on August 20th. So August 20th, 21st and 22nd, Raining on Sunny Street. Yeah.
So will you only play it one time?
There'll be three performances.
One time, three times. And have you made decisions after that what to do with it?
I'm really hoping that I get to keep working on it and either bring it back to Asheville or bring it to New York. I think like my whole idea is like process, and I'm gonna keep working it and keep workshopping it.